Haskell, Brother and Sister, SN, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, March 8, 1903. Dear Brother and Sister Haskell, I have just read your letter. Be assured that we pray for you most earnestly. You have our sincere interest and sympathy. The Lord God of Israel is your stronghold. Put your whole trust in Him. Preserve the simplicity of a little child. We are all God's little children. He will instruct us, and we in turn are to instruct others, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We are to labor with unwearying endeavor to plant the seeds of truth in hearts. Thus, we are to be Christ's witnesses. Never are we to sow a seed of doubt in the minds of those with whom we associate. In our work, we shall meet with many whose minds are open to receive evidence from the Scriptures. The truth is to be enshrined in our hearts, that we may bring forth from the treasure house things new and old to give to others. We are to make it our highest aim to win souls to Christ. I have been thinking of how, after we began sanitarium work in Battle Creek, sanitarium buildings all ready for occupation were shown to me in vision. The Lord instructed me as to the way in which the work in these buildings should be conducted in order for it to exert a saving influence on the patients. All this seemed very real to me, but when I awoke, I found that the work was yet to be done, that there were no buildings erected. Another time I was shown a large building going up on the site on which the Battle Creek Sanitarium was afterward erected. The brethren were in great perplexity as to who should take charge of the work. I wept sorely. One of authority stood up among us and said, "Not yet. You are not ready to invest means in that building or to plan for its future management." At this time, the foundation of the sanitarium had been laid, but we needed to learn the lesson of waiting. When I was in Australia, I was shown a large building in Chicago. This building was elaborately furnished. I was shown that it would be a mistake to invest means in a building such as this. Chicago is not the place in which to erect buildings. The Lord would not be honored by such an investment of His means. I understand that someone said that the testimony that I bore in regard to this was not true, that no such building was erected in Chicago. But the testimony was true. The Lord showed me what men were planning to do. I knew that the testimony was true, but not until recently was the matter explained. When Judge Arthur was here, he said that the testimony was perfectly plain to him because he knew that preparations were being made to erect in Chicago a building corresponding to the one shown me in vision. I wrote to Dr. Kellogg in regard to the instruction given me, and Dr. Kellogg went no further with the plan. A warning was given that prevented the execution of a design that was not in harmony with God's will. The Lord will make all things plain to the minds of those who are willing to be instructed. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, but God must be our dependence. Unless His servants, ministers, physicians, teachers, editors, and workers in any other branch of His cause make Him their trust, unless they wear every piece of the Christian armor, they will not stand in the conflict before us. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 13-17. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 15. God is in earnest with us. We have received great light, great privileges, great encouragement. For our own good, and for the good of those who look to us for a right example, let us beware of making crooked paths for our feet. We cannot afford to stand on any other ground than the sure word of God.
The message of Isaiah 58 means much to all who are on the Lord's side. Truth will gather souls from every place in which it is proclaimed. Unsanctified human influences will try to banish it, but it will make its way, even in the most unfavorable places, and in spite of the indifference of many of our own people, who have long been departing from safe paths, and of whom the Lord says, "They are joined to their idols, let them alone." Hosea 4, verse 17. God cannot prepare for the day of trial before us those who are careless and indifferent. With those who are neither cold nor hot, he has nothing to do. "I would thou wert cold or hot," he says. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. The half-hearted Christian exerts an influence more harmful than the influence of the avowed infidel. Satan is all prepared to do his work, and under the influence of his deceptions, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. But the time is coming when the supreme authority of God will be recognized in earth as well as in heaven. Religion will rule the world with the scepter of righteousness. It is a fact now, as it has been in the past, that where there is one physician wholly consecrated to God, there are many whose lives are but a pretense of godliness. They are a law to themselves, and they always will be, unless the grace of Christ subdues their hearts. They refuse the divine illumination. They lift up their souls unto vanity, and the Lord has no use for them in his service. To have the religion of Christ, to have a firm hold from above, this is the privilege of every physician. Every physician who cooperates with the great physician will have skill and aptitude. He will be enabled to minister to the needs of the soul as well as of the body. Physical as well as spiritual health is obtained through pure, unwavering faith in God. Every truly converted physician is the helping hand of God. Through the Holy Spirit's working, he is placed in possession of skill and efficiency. Let him remember that his work is not to glorify himself. All the glory belongs to the Lord. No one has greater need of a living connection with the Lord Jesus than the physician. He should cherish a constant sense of the importance of spiritual things. He cannot afford to be mixed up in common business transactions. He should not load himself down with responsibilities that others can carry. He is to keep his mind pure and clear, free from common worldly business. God will illuminate the minds of those who are willing to be educated by him, those who will hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end. Those who submit to the training of Christ will be led by supreme wisdom.